As we anticipate an inauguration and new leadership, we're thinking Beethoven. Beethoven began composing the Eroica Symphony inspired by Napoleon Bonaparte, then a hero of the French Revolution. But by the time the piece was finished, Napoleon had crowned himself emperor and begun to wage war across Europe. Beethoven was said to be outraged, tearing Napoleon's name off his manuscript, dedicating the piece not to a great man, but to the memory of a great man. Classical music writer Fran Hoffner writes for The All and will occasionally help us deconstruct classical pieces. Her recent column is titled, Let's Finally Talk About Beethoven. She joins us now from WBEZ in Chicago. Welcome back.
Thank you so much for having me back.
Well, it's interesting. We had a lot of suggestions after we deconstructed a piece with you a while back, and Beethoven was on that list. And we should thank you because at the beginning of your column, you reveal that you found out, as many did, that it's the Eroica Symphony, but it has nothing to do with eroticism.
Yeah. We played the third movement when I was in high school, and I always thought Eroica was just like a German or something phrase for erotica. It's like what it looked like to me as a 15-year-old.
So I was like,
oh, this is Beethoven's. Yeah, I was like, oh, it's his erotic symphony. But that has nothing to do
because
with the piece at all.
It means what?
Heroic symphony.
Yes, heroic symphony. And is it about Napoleon? Did he see Napoleon as a hero?
He did when he started. And as Napoleon kind of very quickly got worse and worse, not only did Beethoven sort of second-guess this, but one of his patrons essentially said, like, I won't continue to support you if you dedicate this symphony to Napoleon.
Okay.
So he withdrew. By the time it debuted, it was withdrawn.
Your sense of Beethoven, because you're very honest in your columns, you wondered if it was bad that your go-to image for Beethoven is the angry, deaf, old man with wild hair that John Cleese made famous in his Monty Python skit. This is about the Fifth Symphony. Let's listen.
I got it! Do you want peanut butter or sandwich bread for your tea?
But
peanut butter!
I've forgotten it! I had it!
Do you want peanut butter or sandwich?
So who is this Beethoven that we're meeting at this time? You know, maybe a rock star, but also maybe, as we just heard, losing his hearing.
Yeah, I see him so much less as an angry figure. I think that's just sort of an easy go-to. In college, we actually read, it's not quite a suicide letter or a will, but it's sort of a letter to his two brothers about 2 years before the Eroica came out, basically saying that he wants to die and his loss of hearing is really sort of pulling him down and composing is the only thing that's sort of pushing him forward. He says, like, I'm doing this for my art. And he uses the word art over and over again instead of music.
Well, let's listen to what he did. The first two chords in E flat. You say this is your favorite movement. Why?
Yeah, I love it. It's such a complete picture. And it runs at about 16 minutes, which at the time is sort of what the length of a normal total symphony was. So to have this really grandiose, incredibly long opening that's just sort of like, here's where we're starting. It essentially, I mean, this being his third symphony, but also sort of the start of the middle section of his career, really rewrote what a lot of classical composers were doing at this time. It feels very revolutionary just to listen to.
Well, but let's listen to a little more of the first movement, Allegro con brio.
This is like a fanfare about a big idea, which had not yet been done. It was before, it was just, here's my melody, and here are a couple different ways we can sort of work through it. To start on this really bright note and to know that it's for a great man, I think, says everything about sort of what the symphony's about.
Well, but then the second movement is a funeral march. Let's listen to a little bit.
Yeah.
Thank you. Napoleon had not died yet. So what is that?
I mean, I think this is him looking ahead into the future at what he imagines maybe this, like, death of democracy to be, perhaps also sort of a funeral for the old way of doing things, sort of the monarchy and something like that. When Napoleon did die, someone reached out to Beethoven, who is still alive, and he was like, yeah, I wrote that piece 17 years ago, so you know what piece to use for his funeral. But it's gone down as one of the most famous sort of funeral marches.
Well, as you write, the funerals of FDR, JFK, F. Scott Fitzgerald's deathbed, yeah. it was played. So obviously it resonates. Well, let's move on to the third movement. Beethoven wrote the symphony in a cottage in the Viennese countryside, and the third movement starts out kind of courtly. This is, what would you say, more traditional?
Yeah.
Everybody dance, and then they suddenly are at the end of this movement. There's a country dance at the end. But how does this fit in the Napoleon theme?
That's a good question. I have a hard time placing this movement. Maybe just as a general celebration of the people, it feels definitely more about sort of a common man than it does perhaps Napoleon himself. Maybe sort of the reflection of what life under Napoleon should have been like. As Beethoven wanted it to be.
No. Let's go to the final movement, the Allegro Molto. Let's listen just to the beginning. Now, that feels almost like a joke, almost like, oh, somebody's tiptoeing. Or
it's a very funny change of pace to me to start with this sort of big, intense, string and horn fanfare, and then to take it back down immediately. Pizzicato on the strings with the woodwinds kind of chiming in. It's sort of him announcing, sort of like, this is going to be the end, but I'm gonna build you up. You don't get to like have that big loud part unearned.
Well, and talk more about how this was received at the time. I mean, people were confused.
To immediately go from this very sort of bright and exciting intro to the funeral march, to a dance, I mean, it was probably just very confusing and very difficult to focus on.
Mm. So we want to hear the very end, because as you write, the last 2 minutes of the piece are just like, if you don't like Beethoven, what's wrong with you? Let's listen.
I mean, it's so hard for me to be glib or funny about Beethoven, sort of like Monty Python impersonation aside, because his music is so approachable and recognizable, even if you're not familiar with classical music. He essentially rewrote what classical music was to a point where we now consider Beethoven the standard. And in that final 2 minutes, you're sort of filled with this sort of immense joy and optimism, and that is sort of like the happy part of Beethoven that I feel is what should be remembered instead of this very like gloomy, angry man.
Well, we started off by saying that we're thinking of leadership, and he was too, apparently. I mean, he credited to Napoleon, then he took it back when Napoleon became so controversial. He had a complex, Napoleon.
Yeah.
But Hitler also loved Beethoven's music. He called it music that reflected the heroic German spirit. Beethoven wasn't banned by the Israeli Philharmonic as Wagner was, because that was Hitler's favorite composer.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it gets complicated when you start thinking about what are the composers thinking about leaders.
I mean, it's very tough, because I think so many composers love the idea of democracy, or sort of a ruling power that favors art and artists. which it so often when it goes bad, they do not. Favorite art and artists? I've been thinking a lot about Shostakovich recently, who I've been listening to a lot of, who sort of constantly fell in and out of favor with Stalin just while his career was happening. Mm-hmm. It's interesting that Beethoven wrote for Napoleon more or less, but the two men never interacted, and Beethoven could never know that his stuff was going to be reappropriated by Hitler. You kind of have to like make art and hope for the best that it doesn't end up in the wrong hands or thought of to mean something that it doesn't.
Fran Hoffner writes The Classical Music with Fran column for The All. We'll link you to her column on Beethoven at hereandnow.org. Fran, thanks as always.
Thank you so much, Robin.
It's Here and Now.